100 right off the bat, but then it's dropped down. Anyways.
Oh my gosh, that Bucky's, that Gold Cup, you're so jealous. It's already sold.
Oh, yeah. Because people don't realize you can go to Bucky's and get it.
Hello, and welcome to a podcast that will change your life. It's Louisville's best podcast, and we are Louisville's best podcasters.
2024.
It's a little intense.
I know. Man, I didn't have the New Year's music tonight.
This is New Year, new voice. Only going to speak like this.
On this one podcast.
We're going to be doing this differently now.
It's different.
Now it's different.
It's high octane.
That's right.
It's blood boiling.
It's going to be intense.
It's Louisville's best podcast.
We're changing things up for 2024.
John,
what? Is this the Fast and the
How
Furious
pumped
version?
Are you right now?
I am so pumped.
To be in Brian's basement with two other guys.
Hey, you don't even understand how pumped I am.
And like, our wives are so, upstairs.
I'm so pumped. I got like blood squirting in my eyes.
I can see it. I can feel. Oh, that got me. I think it got in my mouth. God, what is this? A salt burn moment? Gross. Terrible.
Speaking of salt burn.
It is salty.
Gosh.
Brian, how are you?
I don't even know how to answer.
What?
Right now.
It's the first edit of 2000.
How's that going to be edited? You shot blood out of your eyes. It just happened to land in my mouth.
It's just so...
I'm so lost.
Brian, how are you?
I'm real good, dude.
Yeah, you are.
There he is. We got it.
How
now.
Did you say solid?
Oh, was sorry. You... Solid.
Yeah.
Like a rock.
Brian.
It's getting weird.
How manly did you feel going to a high school boys' basketball?
We all felt manly.
We felt so manly.
We felt so manly. We stayed and rooted for a team we didn't even know.
They were the Ravens against the Raiders.
All these parents are like, who are they? We're like, we're just here to watch.
I mean, you say all those parents, but it was like us and 12 people.
We're just here to watch a bunch of high school boys play basketball.
And comment about how short their shorts have gotten. What's up with that?
Oh, wow. Welcome to 2024, everybody. Well, that's it. This podcast.
That's
there
it.
Go.
That's it. Well, let me just say, this podcast will change your life because we're talking about the worst of the worst of 2023.
There's plenty out there.
Look, earlier this week, John, you challenged us.
I did.
You jumped on Bear Chat, which is mostly dormant, especially in the winter. And you said, guys, instead of talking about the best things of 2023, we're going to talk about the worst things of 2023.
Well,
so, John, I need to lay some groundwork here.
Okay.
From time to time, I will keep a running journal on my phone.
Oh.
Sometimes I'm bad at it, and I go, like, weeks without doing it, but sometimes I'm pretty consistent. And so I was like, I'm going to scroll through my journal from last year and look at the worst of the worst. And, John, I want you to know... Here's how 2023 started.
All right.
January 3rd, 2023. First off, Ken Block, the racer, died when his snowmobile tumped over top of him. Second, Jeremy Renner got ran over by his snowplow and almost died. And third, we watched a football player in an NFL game die and be brought back to life. That was all on January 3rd.
Good grief.
Like, I noted all that stuff that happened in the first 3 days. And then I followed that up with talking about going to Brittany's grandmother's late husband's funeral. That's how January started, John, of 2023.
It was a whiz banger.
It was a whiz banger.
That's
what we would say. It definitely was a whiz banger.
Yeah, so, it's funny that you talked about that, because if I think back to 2020, and this is why I started journaling more, because I forget stuff like that very easily. Like when Brian talks about memories of our childhood of hanging out, and he's like, you remember we stayed up all night and listened to Coolio? And I'm like, man, I don't. I wish I did. So like I started, you know, notating stuff like that. But anyways, now that I read that, if you remember, 2023 was like crazy at the beginning of it. Celebrities were dying right and left. All kinds of craziness was happening. So all of that to say, John, when you challenged us like the worst of the worst. I definitely had some things right off the bat to look at. So I'm excited, John, today talking about the worst of 2023 with you, the best of friends.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty bad year for some things, and that's what we're kind of getting into tonight. Yeah. And then nothing real hardcore. I mean, we don't usually get into politics and stuff like that.
Oh, no,
but
no. We're not going to talk about
politics. Well, then I'm done. I ain't got anything to talk about.
If I can't talk about the invasion of Israel, then I don't want to be on this podcast anymore.
So three things came to mind. I want to know your worst movie that you watched. I want to know your worst sporting moment of the year. And then I just want like a general one more worst. It could be another sporting moment. It could be seeing John in Kentucky gear. You know, it was something that strikes you as the worst. But to kick us off, John, I have via variety.com the five worst movies of 2023. And I'm going to quickly go through them because I don't think I saw any of them. Number one is a movie called Ghosted. It has Chris Evans and that attractive girl that he was in another movie with that was in Knives Out.
Yeah.
He starts dating her. She disappears. He goes and finds her in London only to find out that she's some kind of like secret CIA cutthroat agent.
I remember that.
Ana de Armas or whatever. It is number one of the worst movies of 2023 on several lists, might I say. Like I didn't just randomly go, oh, let's just go. Like, I looked at several. That was on several. Number two, this one kind of hurts because I'm a Wes Anderson guy. I enjoy Wes Anderson films. Asteroid City. It's the movie where people get locked down like in Area 51. Jason Schwartzman, Scarlett Johansson. They're preparing for aliens. It did look a little iffy even for Wes Anderson, but I'll probably give it a try, but it made this.
I saw where it was on, I think it was Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't want to pass judgment on it because usually Susie's a big she's a massive Wes Anderson
person.
Susie
and I need to watch movies.
She likes Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think
I love the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Grand Budapest is cool. I liked it. I haven't seen this one yet, but I don't know if you can really put Wes Anderson movies on a worst of list.
Right, because it's an acquired taste.
Yeah, they're quirky really in and of themselves, so I mean, it's not something that I would put on there.
This next movie called Your Place or Mine has Ashton Kutcher, and I don't even know what it is. Reese Witherspoon, Ashton Kutcher, it sounds like it's Best Friends with Benefits, you know. Number four, John's personal favorite, a movie I know he's seen multiple times. Magic Mike's Last Dance.
Well, only if we get to slow it down.
I only watch it while polishing the ukulele.
On negative. Watch on negative like 6 speed.
And then finally, number five, I think this was a Netflix original, Heart of Stone with Gal Gadot. She plays a rogue MI6 counteragent, to which I say, Gal Gadot? It's probably still pretty good.
Oh, no, you know, yeah. you don't really have to pay attention to the plot.
Yeah.
You get Gal Gadot in the movie.
Other notables is The Flash, the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey movie, that movie where Owen Wilson paints mountains or something. And that's about it. So let's start there, John. Brian,
are you ready?
I'm ready.
The worst movie
I am ready
of 2023 made blood squirt out of your eyes. What do you got, John?
Worst movie of 2023. I can't do that anymore.
Can I get some water, please?
Excuse me. The worst one I've seen. That's what we're going at here. Is got to be The Flash.
I didn't get to see it.
I went and saw it in theaters, and it was really as bad as what I thought it was going to be. And I watched it in the movie theater. Like, okay, I'm going to give this another opportunity when it comes out. I'm going to watch it again.
Is it on Max?
Yes, okay. It is on Max. And I would say probably because I don't really watch a lot of... I mean, movies is something that I just don't really watch a lot of anymore. I'm more of a podcast listening guy now. But it would either be the two that I can really think of, and they're both DC movies, because I did not go see The Marvels. I didn't see that in theaters. And
what?
Thor: Love and Thunder came out in 2022, so I can't really pick that one.
You know what Marvel movie did come out in 2020?
Which one?
Ant-Man and Quantumania.
I liked it, though. Okay. That was kind of good.
Okay.
Anyway, so The Flash, I thought, okay, I'm going to watch it again. Me and Carl, I thought, it ain't that bad. Because, as you like to say, recency bias. I have tons of recency bias.
You do.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to watch it again when it comes out on Max. Me and Carl said I'd watch it. And I thought, this movie just is not very good. Just not a very good movie. And it just, the plot was just kind of weak. And now, in its defense, I did not mind all the fan service that was going on in it. The Batman and stuff.
I haven't seen that stuff, but I heard it's fun.
It's fun. But the plot and stuff itself is just so weak. I was just kind of, I was super disappointed in it. There were so many different things they could have done with it. The main bad guy, they should have used the Reverse Flash or Zoom in it, and they didn't. And I'm kind of, I was really kind of mad about that. Because it is DC, and Marvel's kind of doing the same thing now. It's kind of destroying themselves on this type of stuff. Worst, I guess we can go worst TV or worst streaming here in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Brian, worst movie of 2023.
I'm not sure you're ready for this, too.
Oh, my gosh.
We're always ready.
I'm not sure my heart can take
the
it.
The movie that disappointed me the most, brother. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem.
Are you serious?
The worst
one. Brother, look right here. Right there on my list.
The worst.
It was awful.
I don't think I've ever been so disappointed in a movie.
Aaron is so probably ticked right now because he said he loved it.
Of course he did.
I wanted to be like Aaron.
Of course he did. Of course he loved
it. It was terrible.
I literally think I fell asleep at some part.
Oh, my gosh.
It was horrible.
The only redeeming factor is my niece now likes the Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
But that movie was atrocious.
Yes.
Not to mention, it's a kid's movie, and the main bad guy, played by Ice Cube, goes around for the last 45 minutes and over repeats, "What the hell?" I mean,
no, he says
every,
like, "What the hell?"
Every 10 seconds, it's like, oh, what the turtles, hell? Turtles attack, turtles fight,
what the
we
hell?
Should be friends.
What the hell?
What the hell? I'm like, stop saying it. Like my
what the hell?
My 3-year-old niece is going to start be going, what the hell?
Did she pick up on it?
She didn't.
Oh,
because I think she, to Brian's point, had fallen asleep.
Yeah.
it was awful. No, and then they take a Splinter learns karate from like a Richard Simmons Taekwondo video or something?
Of course
something?
He did. Of course he did. Yeah,
and
it has to be that way nowadays.
Falls in love with a bug.
Yeah.
A mutant bug.
Yeah, it just from the previews, the way they did certain other characters in the movie and all that type of stuff, I was just like, no, this is lame.
I'm really tired of seeing Bebop's nipples. I mean, it's like they accentuate them the whole time he's out on the screen. I'm like, I don't need to see the Warthog's nipples.
Well, there's this weird, I don't even know how to explain it. Because, like, we were watching the trailer for Wonka, went to see Wonka.
Yeah.
And they had Kung Fu Panda 42 or whatever it is now. And it was like, okay, why do they have to put that many fart jokes into a movie that doesn't need, but maybe one? Okay, I get it.
Because people need a good fart joke.
And the funny thing about this is, in the theater, watching the trailer, they probably showed 14 out of the 42 fart jokes. And there was people that are just, they thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why?
I mean, anytime Poe farts, it's funny.
Well, and it's just like they talking about Bebop. It's like, okay, they do things like that. And it's like, why?
I mean, look, John, look. Here are his pierced nipples that are on full display for 90% of the movie.
Well,
they're just distracting.
They were going with some. They were going for some kind of woke edginess. I'll say it.
They
I mean, it's just. I'm so over that type of junk. I just can't even watch stuff anymore. Anyway,
so
that's actually a good call.
So
good call.
I do have one runner up for a bad movie, and the only reason it's a runner up is because I couldn't even make it through like the first 30 minutes. It was Renfield, the Nicolas Cage movie with Nicholas
bad?
Holt.
Haven't got to watch it.
I was expecting like a really fun comedy, and it was just really slow. And it was. I know I just said warthog nipples, but it was vulgar, more vulgar than I was expecting. And I'm just like, I just like the origin story put me to sleep. And I'm like, I'm done. Yeah. I'm done, guys. But anyways, worst movies. All right, John. John, what do you got for your worst TV show of the year? Like worst TV, worst streaming, the thing that just really was like, oh, I can't do this.
Okay, worst TV show of 2023. I don't know if it actually came out in 23, but I watched it in 23.
It's fine. You watched that season.
Yes, yeah. And it is a Netflix show that is called Night Agent.
Night Agent. Oh, okay, I know that one. I didn't watch it.
We got to the point in the show to where we, Carla even, and she gives everything she watches the benefit of the doubt because she watches some really bad television.
Yeah.
But she was like, does the guy have any lips? Does he have any lips? So we got to calling him, instead of calling it the Night Agent, we started calling it the Night Monkey.
Wow.
From Spider-Man, you know, Night Monkey. In a Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh, he's with the black mask.
Yeah, we're in the black mask.
Black suit.
Yeah, and it's because he's a super agent. And so we just started on the Night Monkey. So then we got to saying it over and over. Let's watch Night Monkey. And it was terrible. It was absolutely possibly the worst television show I had seen in 2023.
Yeah.
Now, right up there against the Chris Pratt show that was on Prime, the one where he was the agent.
Oh, the Terminal List.
The Terminal List.
The Terminal List was, where the tumor was non-cancerous.
It was garbage. That show was absolute garbage.
I'm going to destroy everybody because they put tumors in their brains.
Well, and
but it turns out the tumors aren't even going to hurt us. So I just killed everybody on domestic terrorism because of a tumor. It doesn't matter.
Well, here's my problem with it, okay? Here's the problem with this. Is everybody was like, oh, nobody likes it. Nobody's poo-pooing it because it's patriotic. What's so patriotic about a blowing up a van in front of... I mean, you're doing exactly the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And it was just ridiculous and stupid. But yeah, the Night Agent was horrible. I have this angry reaction to the show because it was just hot garbage. I just can't even think about it anymore.
Garbage.
All right, I'm done.
Brian, I know you're not a big TV guy, but worst streaming TV show you watched?
Well, the first one that came to my mind was Miss Marvel, but it came out in 2022.
I still haven't made it through it. I'm like on episode.
Well, I haven't made it through that one or She-Hulk.
She-Hulk is awful.
I couldn't. I just couldn't do that.
She-Hulk is absolutely awful.
I was fine with She-Hulk until the last 20 minutes.
I think though the one that really, there were so many good ones that kept popping in my head, you know, but like Ahsoka and Loki and. But the Secret Invasion one left me with, like, why? You know what I mean? Like, I get the point of it, but I was still just like, because I know it was tied into the Miss Marvels and all that stuff, but
I never felt that there was any real problem in the Secret Invasion. It just didn't make any sense.
It's like they want a home. They were getting ready to take us over.
They were going to make Super Skrulls and take over the world.
They were already
brother.
Super Skrulls.
But that just didn't make any sense. I mean, it was just dumb. Yeah, that show.
You know what?
And then at the end when it was like creating like this Wild West where it was just like you could go out and if you thought somebody was a Skrull, they just showed them running up and shooting them. Like it just,
the part that really took me out of that TV show is the Super Skrull guy, the actor.
Yeah.
Did a really good job. But as I'm watching this, the trailers for Barbie start to drop. And he's one of the Kents. And he's like a super like effeminate acting Kent. And so like I'm trying to watch this, oh, very intimidating Super Skrull. And then I'm going, seeing him going, what's wrong, Ken? And I'm just like,
spoiler alert, when they took out Colby Saunders.
Colby Smulders.
Smulders, trying to recreate that thing that we had with Coulson when he got taken out. I just was like, what? This was her big moment?
Yeah.
And like, again, you talk about some of the agendas that are trying to be pushed, and I'm like, here was an opportunity for
a good
prime
super
time.
Heroine.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and then you just, she gets taken out by a fake Skrull. Like, I mean, come
well,
on.
Well, it just never really... I never felt that anybody was really threatened by anything in that show, and it was just, it was such a shallow attempt.
I would have been more okay with it if it would have been like from the perspective of like a broken, oh my gosh, Samuel L. Jackson's character, I can't think of
Nick Fury,
like a broken, completely broken Nick Fury, and him like overcoming as opposed to this more of this like, oh, you're just washed up, dude. Like, you really need to give it up. And, oh, you made us a promise 50 years ago.
Yeah, that was weird.
Now you didn't keep it, so yeah, we don't hate you.
Keep your promise, so we hate you.
Yeah, it was dumb.
Yeah. That was the one where I was just like, okay.
Guys, my worst TV show / streaming really pains me to talk about. I am an avid Scott Pilgrim movie fan.
You're talking about the cartoon.
And Kinsey and Kinsey watched Scott Pilgrim with me the other day for the first time and loved it. It was great. And we actually sat down this past week and tried to watch the cartoon. And it is so bad.
It's pretty rough.
It is. They sprung money to get all the original actors to come back and voice their characters, but none of the characters match the personalities of the show, or they roughly do. And then not only that, but the opening fight scene, he dies.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? So I made it one more episode, and I was like, I'm done.
Susie, who is...
So, very disappointing for
me. Who's a big Scott Pilgrim movie fan, too. Yeah. She was like, oh, let's watch the cartoon. So I sat down with her, and we watched the first episode. And I don't even know if we actually got through the entirety of the first episode or not. I can't remember.
The thing of it is the episodes are only, like, 20 minutes long, but it felt like an hour.
Because she has this tendency. She'll say, watch this with me. Watch this. I'll stop everything I'm doing. Go watch it. She'll watch 20 minutes. I'm going to bed. Yeah. And she'll leave. But I don't think we got it. Yeah, it was pretty atrocious what I saw. It wasn't very good
at
all.
It was bad. All right, guys. Aaron and Charlie aren't here, which I failed to mention. Sorry, guys. So we can talk sports for a minute.
Yes.
So I want to talk about your worst sporting moment of the year.
Oh, don't even get us started here.
I want to know what sporting moment ruined your day, maybe even a month, maybe even year.
Oh, man. As a university, me and Brian are proud University of Louisville fans. We make no bones about it. And absolutely, and Brian may be a little bit different on this than me, but I absolutely have a lifelong hate for the University of Kentucky. I mean, it's just the way you're supposed
to
be.
I've seen
here.
Pictures that would say different,
yeah,
John.
I know.
I've seen the tattoo.
But as I have told, not yet, but as I've told many people in the past few months, when a school like UK, who I'm supposed to hate, gives your kid a full ride academic scholarship, you plant a flag in your front yard. I mean, that's just what you do. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. It'd be like... it'd be like someday Kinsey decides that she comes to his dad.
University of Florida.
I'm going to Florida. Mm. And they gave me a full ride.
Dun, 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 dun. Go, Gators.
You might go out and buy yourself a sweatshirt and a hat. I mean, you might just do that. Just so you can support
only because
your kid.
I kind of like the orange and blue together.
It looks good. It's sharp. That silver on blue doesn't look bad either, that Kentucky silver on blue. But probably... Well, we could go down a long list of problems, but the worst moment in sports this year was sitting there Thanksgiving week and watching that lowbrow, no good, horrible football team they have at Kentucky come into Humana, whatever they call it now, Humana. Ellen Infield. I couldn't remember what it was. Ellen Infield. You had a top.
We were top 10.
Top 10. Football team and watch them blank holes come in there and beat us like that and watch their stupid coach, Mark Stoops, who I will say...
He is stupid.
Stand there and gyrate on the sideline like he had just won the national championship.
7-5, baby.
It just
7-5, give me another year on the contract.
Carla won't even talk about it. She is... far more the college football fan than I am. Now, I'm probably going to change my tune about college football next year when you get to 12-team playoffs, but it's going to be the same problem. I mean, you know, as I always have. But that's probably one of the worst.
John's dipping into my conversation.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm going to veer away from that. And I think me and Brian can agree on this, is watching the Yum Center this year.
Yes.
at the University of Louisville, Kentucky game. Now, for people that aren't from Kentucky, you have to understand there are two things that this state shuts down for. Number one, it's the Derby, and that's in May. And then you shut down for the University of Louisville, University of Kentucky basketball game. Football is fine, but you shut down for that. And they're taking it so unseriously now that they moved the game this year to 6 p.m. on a Thursday night. Why?
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. That's how bad it is right now, because it doesn't even because a rivalry that everybody says, oh, it's North Carolina and Duke, it's Michigan and Ohio State, it's Louisville and Kentucky. It's gotten so much disrespect that the game has been moved to 6 p.m. on a Thursday, and it's not even a holiday Thursday. It's just a Thursday, and it turned my stomach to turn on that game, and the announcers are like, why is this place mostly blue? And it was. I mean, it was probably 65% Kentucky fans in the freaking Yum Center that can't stand. And our coach is just like,
that Kentucky team was God.
That Kentucky team, man, they got both five-star players on it.
They're God.
I wish I had some five. Oh, I do have five-star players. They're so good. No. Anyways. It's the entirety of the University of Louisville Kentucky rivalry this year. It's just been in the toilet, and Kentucky's owning us, and I hate it. And I did, yes. There are pictures floating around the internet of me in a Kentucky sweatshirt and hat. My wife almost threw up when I came out of the bathroom wearing it. It was so funny because I put it on and put my hat on, and I didn't look in the mirror while I was doing it, and I just looked up real quick to see what it was. I was like, ugh.
Startled you.
What is this?
Startled me, brother.
No, I bought one because Susie goes to school there, and I like to go down there and not get killed on campus or get yelled at on campus or called all the types of names on campus, so I like to wear it when I go down. I like to wear it when I go to take her back to college and stuff. I wear it down there in Lexington.
Brian.
Anyway, so that's it. What is it, Brian?
Sports moment.
No, I mean.
Anthony Richardson. Going down.
That was pretty bad.
It was, like, I don't know. I think the start of the season for the Colts, obviously, we went to the combine. We got to see him work out. Yeah. It was a really cool thing. Got to see him drafted. Obviously, him not being able to make it through a whole game in the start and then getting hurt. But I do feel like right now I do have more appreciation for the coach and his, like, level of expectations. Yeah, we've won some games. We shouldn't have lost and all that stuff. But, you know, when you ask that question about, like, what ruined the day, ruined the month, yeah, I think the Louisville football game against Kentucky, well, the Pittsburgh one really just ticked me off because we should have absolutely annihilated them. But we didn't. We lost, whatever. But that Kentucky game, knowing that you have the superior team and you're still like able to overcome some of those turnovers, you know, in those games, Tim, where it's like, you know, hey, if really things are going the way they should go, I mean, we should be getting blasted by like 21, and you look at the scoreboard and you're like, hey, how are we up by 3 points?
We can still win this.
And like, okay, guys, like, yeah, we've turned the ball over three times, so we're going to do this. Let's do this. And then you just like quit tackling and guys break off runs. And I have no idea why. This is my soapbox, John. I have no idea why, but it utterly makes me want to cuss, and we talked about that. When I see those UK players do the L's down, I have no idea why. I feel like they have offended generations in my family.
My grandfather's grandfather fought for those L's.
Like, I almost want to spit at the TV. I don't know why that bothers me so bad. But when I thought it couldn't get worse, Tim.
Yeah.
I thought it couldn't get worse. And then basketball season's going. And it's like, oh, okay, hey, we're going to the whatever it was, the Bahama thing or whatever. And it was like, yeah, we look all right. Not there yet, but early in the season, right? Second year, we're going to be fine. And then when the Kentucky game came, like John said, I mean, seeing the Yum Center in blue, and even like Jason Williams, you know, talking about just like how the program's dead and all that. But I think for me, it's just the idea of like there's no fight for what's on the front of the jersey. And I know you'll probably talk about Neil and all of that, and obviously how that's changed college football especially. But for me, I think that's the part about it that just really discourages me right now about it all, is that, you know, it used to be, like you said, John, like the North Carolinas and the Dukes and the Michigans, like, yeah, you wanted to be a star athlete, but the name on the front of the jersey mattered. Now anymore, it's like, well, if I don't like what you're going to give me at this program, I can go down the street and make a couple more million. I really don't care what's on the front of my jersey. It's where am I going to get the most exposure and the most coverage. And that's, and again, the Louisville players, I don't see them getting a ton of stuff. I'm sure they are, but it's just, there's just no appreciation for being at the University of Louisville on the men's basketball team, it seems like, right now. And I think that's really the disappointing thing, especially as you go into conference play coming up here in a little while. It's just like, oh, my Lord. I mean, we might win 10 games. I don't know if we will.
We're not going to win 10 games. There's no way we win 10 games.
I mean, unless all of a sudden there's a major coaching thing happen. Like, I mean, I'm not even saying a change in coaching. I'm saying, like, there's a new philosophy. Kind of like the game we watched tonight. Like, hey, bud, your offense that you're trying to run is getting completely shut down. You need to change it.
Well, and there's not going to be any Disney Channel montage for this team. I mean, and that's something you see in those movies. There's this montage where eventually they all come together and they go out and they win. And that's not happening. And it's you could see it last night in that game. They were up. They dominated the first four minutes.
Yep.
And then when Kentucky made a run, and Kentucky went up by two, they started hanging their heads, and they didn't want to play anymore. And Payne didn't even try to – he should have called timeout. I mean, I know we can't really go back in time, but, I mean, me and my dad were sitting there talking, and my brother-in-law, who's a big Kentucky fan, would talk about it. And it was like, okay. Even my brother-in-law said, right there, when they did that, Patino would have called a timeout, and he would have popped a blood vessel on his forehead. And if you didn't respond, you were going to be sitting over on that bench. And he'll get somebody in the game that is responding. But it's just like King Payne's like, I don't know what to do. Well, I don't know, dude. I'm just a coach.
Of course, as you all know from where we're at around here, anytime you mention Duke, it's bad. But I honestly believe that if we go back even to when – oh, my gosh, I can't even think of his name. The one before Kenny was here.
Chris Mack.
That game when Louisville was up 31-32, and it was going to be the largest loss of Coach Krzyzewski's career, and they let them come all the way back – They beat them. To me, in all honesty, it was like that was the moment where the program, like you said, John, it's like, oh, we don't know how to win now. And every game, regardless of who the coach is, it's like you said, they can come out, be gangbusters, but if they get punched back in the mouth, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, you're right, we're not supposed to win this game, so we're just going to cower back down. And then they get ran out of the gym.
And the scary thing about it is, and we'll turn it over to Tim here, is a scary thing to me watching it, is it doesn't, because nobody, we're not hearing anything. It doesn't, like, it seems like anybody at UofL cares. Mm. It's just like, well, you know, it's just the way it is. Yeah, it's just the way it is. So this is just the way it's going to be. So the worst for me is the entirety of the University of Louisville athletic department in relation to the way they're doing basketball. Football, they're crushing it. I mean, it's out of the park. Brohm is the man. We're going to be competing for that playoff, I think. Mean, and if we're not, it's going to be a disappointment.
You're not, because you're in the ACC.
Well, but expanding it to 12. listen to this guy over here, Sour Grapes.
Actually, he should be Sour Grapes is all when his boy's leg broke.
I sent him a meme the day afterwards, and it was this little candle, and it said RIP on it and stuff.
Did you? I didn't get that.
Yeah, it said RIP. I think it said RIP something. I can't remember what it was. Yeah. Little candle. Should have sent it to you. I don't know. Maybe
you did.
Yeah, I did. I did.
I don't got it.
Yeah, I can show it to you. Anyways, go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Look, when Jordan Travis broke his leg.
Look, right there. It says rest in peace.
Terrible. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, see,
I thought you meant like you sent it yesterday.
No, I sent it.
Against Northern Alabama, that should have been the worst moment of my sports 2023. Should have been. I mean, our starting quarterback, a good kid by all measure, guy who fought back through a lot of adversity. And to see his leg sideways against a nobody team. You know,
Kevin, it was a Kevin Ware moment.
Yeah. So, fully go into the Florida game expecting to lose with our backup quarterback. We win, and he suffers a concussion. That moves us into the ACC championship game where we're still undefeated, currently ranked number 4 in the playoff committee's poll, in which they said that week we can't penalize Florida State for losing their quarterback if they continue to win. Mm-hmm. They go out with their third-string quarterback against a very good U of L team. And completely, no offense to you guys, the Florida State defense annihilated.
Oh. Yeah, it was a domination.
They looked real good.
Yeah,
I mean, and I think you could have taken that defense and put them against anybody in the nation at that point, and they would keep even your third-string quarterback in a game. And just because the SEC was going to be left out, Florida State was snubbed out of the college football playoffs. And here's my biggest issue of all of it. And, you know, sour grapes, all that good stuff. You talked about that moment with Chris Mack where it changed the direction of the program. Mm-hmm. I do believe that Florida State is at a crossroads now after the snub, in which their program could very easily dovetail and collapse. Because Mike Norvell, their coach, his whole MO, his whole culture, his whole thing that he builds, it's called the climb, is you handle what's in front of you, and then basically everything takes care of the rest. How you do anything is how you do everything. And so for him to preach that culture for 3.5 years... and then to basically say, hey, guys, it doesn't matter what you do. Because if somebody doesn't want you in something, they have the power to keep you out. Yeah. It totally annihilates the message. And so I do think Florida State, maybe they'll bounce back. Maybe they'll find some. They ended up losing their top recruit in the class because he wanted to go to an SEC school where he could make the playoffs. His dad made that pretty clear. Oh. So, I mean, it's already like rippling.
Yeah,
and causing it, and it is spearheading the ACC potentially explosion that's going to happen. But all of that to say is, it just sucked to see those kids that you know I helped cover and follow, and pour their hearts out to basically be like, hey, I know you guys overcame every adversity and you won every game and you won against the other conferences that are going ahead of you. But your quarterback's hurt. We're going to use that as an excuse to keep you out of it.
Well, even as a University of Louisville fan who plays you all, plays Florida State, and you know lost to Florida State in the ACC championship game. I mean, even I said it. Told you that they got shafted. I mean, it was a total screw job on their part.
Here's the other thing, like Brom or Hurd or whatever his name. Neither of them have came out in support of what happened to Florida State. Wake Forest mentioned like a passing, like, oh, we're disappointed. Clemson has not came out in support of what happened to Florida State. NC State, Miami, none of the other ACC schools are up in arms that their conference champion, undefeated conference champion, was left out. And what they don't realize is that, hello, if that's going to happen to Florida State, what's going to happen next year if Louisville is 12-1 as the conference champion and LSU's 11-2 and lost in the SEC championship? Who do you think is going to get in?
Oh, it's going to be LSU.
It's going to be LSU.
Yeah, definitely be LSU.
So, I mean, so like it's like, you know, Florida State deserves it because they're causing a ruckus and wanting to get out of the conference. But it's just
a
symbol of what's going to happen.
Especially next year when, as we said earlier tonight, the powerhouse that is SMU, Cal, and Stanford come rolling in.
Coming in.
With their
brother, when them SMU Mustangs hit L&N Stadium and Jeff Brom and them have a 45-42 shootout and come out victorious, that's going to bring your strength of record down 26.
We got to find a quarterback first.
This has been the worst podcast.
Well, this is the absolute worst, but you know what? I'm pumped.
It's going to be a new year, Tim.
It's even better because you all are still listening.
John, once I got the taste of your blood in my mouth to start this podcast,
oh, Happy New Year, everybody.
I have been on fire. And I am not sorry, Brent. Not one bit.
I can't even do it.
Say it, Brian.
We'll catch you later.
That's right, John. Because we are solid.